I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Bow down before Him, His glory proclaim. With all of obedience and incense of glory. Kneel and adore Him, the Lord is His name. Fear not to enter His presence in poverty, bearing no gifts to present as your own. Truth in its beauty and love in its purity. These are the offerings to lay at His throne. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you, choir, for that call to worship, and thank you for joining me today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry using media to make disciples of Jesus Christ with the goal of fulfilling the Great Commission in our lifetime. At Heralds of Hope, we've developed a set of core values that all of our board members, employees, partners, and volunteers have committed to. Let me share just one of those core values with you, and I'm quoting, "We are committed to developing our listeners and readers into passionate followers of Jesus Christ with the visible fruit of holy living." The program you're listening to right now, as well as our international programs in 22 other languages, and all of our literature and Bible distribution are centered around this core value of creating passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And many listeners and Bible recipients have been happy to tell us how God is deepening their passion for Him through your partnership with us. But you know, we don't receive a lot of feedback from our listeners here in North America. So here's something we'd like you to do for us. We created an online survey you can take to tell us what you think about the Voice of Hope. The link for this survey is very simple. It is heraldsofhope.org/survey. That's heraldsofhope.org/survey. If you would be so kind as to fill that out for us, you will then be able to download a free digital item from our website. We're offering a digital download of the classic story, Heidi, read dramatically by the founder of Heralds of Hope, the late Dr. J. Otis Yoder. Or you can choose a digital download of my teaching series from the book of Malachi. It's titled, An Offering of Righteousness. Again, the link is heraldsofhope.org/survey. I'll remind you again at the close of the program. Not long ago, a shipment of Bibles arrived in the East African country of Malawi. We had ordered those Bibles nearly 11 months before. Now they are in the country, and they're being distributed to those who need them through local pastors' fraternities. You see, the cost of a Bible is unreachable for the average person in Malawi, so these Bibles are a precious gift. The pictures and the video clips that we've received of these Bibles being distributed clearly show to us the great joy expressed by those who have been given a copy of God's Word. And some of them find it hard to believe that someone who doesn't know them, someone they've never met, would care enough to donate money so that they could have a copy of God's Word. Their thanks and their gratitude belong to you who make this possible through your prayers and your giving. God bless you. Now I invite you to stay tuned for today's teaching, The Glory That Excels. If you're a married man, take a moment to think back to when you were dating. Back then, you gave compliments to your girlfriend. You complimented her for her neatness, or maybe her quiet spirit, maybe her cooking skills, or some other quality that you appreciated. When was the last time you gave your wife a compliment in any of those areas? And ladies, back then your man was number one. You complimented him on his spiritual leadership, and maybe you admired his physical strength, and you thanked him for the courtesy and respect he showed to you. Have you complimented him in any of these areas recently? No, this isn't a sermon on marriage. So why do I ask you those questions? Just to prove that the more familiar we are with something, the less likely we are to appreciate it. Is it dangerous to become accustomed to the things that we use every day? I would say yes and no. The problem arises when we become so familiar with the things of the Lord and the things of Scripture that we lose our wonder and our awe and our appreciation for them. Now, we don't verbalize it. We don't say, "I'm just not very much impressed with that anymore." But what do our lives and our choices reveal? If you and I would have lived under the Old Covenant, we would be amazed at the revelation of God in Jesus. Try to imagine living under the law. It told you what you could and couldn't do, but it didn't give you any internal power to obey those regulations. And then think about the annual reminders of your sin on the Day of Atonement. And they reminded you that you could never keep the law well enough to be accepted in God's presence. And then think about the freedom you received in the coming of Jesus. Think about the joy, the hope, the peace rising up from within you, because now there's a power that makes it possible for you to live above the law. Think of the newness, the excitement, and the desire to tell everyone about this new way of living. Go with me today to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In this text, Paul talks about two things: the glory of the Old Covenant, and the glory of the New. And he clearly demonstrates for us that the glory of the New Covenant is a glory that excels. So listen as I read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. "And we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Observe with me three contrasts that demonstrate the glory that excels. The first contrast is the contrast of letter and spirit. Paul says that God has made us able ministers or competent servants of the new covenant. Now that competency or that ability doesn't come from studying the parchments or from a technical analysis of the writings. No, it comes from the presence of God's Spirit within us. The text informs us that the letter kills, and that word means either to kill outright or figuratively to destroy. Recall how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel. They were so intent on covering every possible angle of interpretation and application of the law that they missed the spirit of it. And that's why they condemned Jesus for healing someone on the Sabbath day. Their religion was joyless. It was legalistic. It was dot the I and cross the T. Instead of seeing the law point to Christ, they saw the law as an end in itself. You probably know people who seem to have all the outward signs of knowing God's word, but they don't have the joy of the Lord radiating from their lives. I would suggest they need to take Ken Davis' advice to lighten up and live. To these folks, following the Lord is a duty that has to be endured. It's not a voluntary service to be enjoyed. And you know, that's a danger that you and I need to guard against too. The contrast is the Spirit gives life. The old covenant, the letter, brings death, but the Spirit brings life. A person's mind and will and emotions are transformed. And there's no longer a reliance on performance in order to be accepted with God, because now our acceptance with God is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit, as I said, revitalizes you and me from the inside out. And that begins to affect everything we are and everything we do. Our obedience is no longer given grudgingly because we fear punishment. I don't obey because I'm afraid I'll get caught. That's law. That's the letter. And there's no freedom in that. You're always looking over your shoulder. Because we now obey the law for conscience' sake, we can actually live above it. Now, does this new freedom always make it easy to obey? Not in my experience. I have to wrestle with these issues, and you probably do too. How do I obey the command to be separate from the world, and yet at the same time recognize that if I isolate myself, that robs me of opportunities to impact others? If you have the Spirit of God in you, then obedience is no longer a duty to be endured, but rather it becomes a joy to be explored. There's this tremendous sense of freedom. You see, the Spirit of God gives us the want to, because we are now partakers of His divine nature. Think about that. God, the Creator of the universe and Lord of all, lives in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so obedience no longer needs to be enforced from the outside, because it is motivated from the inside. Love becomes the motivation, because we know that God loves us, and we want to experience the very best that He has for us. Jesus' coming unlocked the chains of bondage to the law, and it freed us to live in the Spirit. Hallelujah! Truly, the Spirit provides a glory that excels. And then there's another contrast, the contrast of receding and advancing glory. The glory of the old covenant, Paul says, was a receding glory. There was glory there, it was present, but it began to fade as soon as it was revealed. Moses covered his face because the people could not look on the glory of God that was reflected from his face after he had been in God's presence. You recall, Moses went up to Mount Sinai to receive the law. Exodus 19 and verses 16 to 19 tell us the glory of God descended on the mountain with things like thunder and lightning, and there was a thick cloud, there was a sound of the trumpet, There was fire and smoke, and then the whole mountain shook at the presence of the Lord. And so God's glory was revealed in an awesome display of power, and it struck fear into the hearts of the people. They told Moses, "You go talk to God. We're afraid of him." And then when Moses came down from the mountain, he veiled his face because the people saw the reflection of God's glory in his face, and they were afraid to come near him. But Paul reminds us that another reason for Moses' veiled face was that this glory was receding. And not only was the glory receding from Moses' face, but the glory of the law was receding from the moment that it was given. Why? Because it brought only condemnation. It did lay out God's demands for acceptance, but it also made clear that no human being could ever meet those standards. That's why Paul refers to the law of Moses as a ministry of death. And that was true in more ways than one. It was attended by the death of thousands upon thousands of animal sacrifices to cover man's sin. So what was the glory of the Old Covenant? It revealed the glory of God in his holiness, and through the sacrifices it gave mankind a way to be accepted by God. The blood of sacrifices covered the sins of the people, but they had to be offered again and again. It was a system that needed replacement if there was ever to be a hope of meeting the righteous demands of the law. There had to be something better. And I'm glad that I can tell you there was and is the ministry of the Spirit. Paul's argument is this: if the law written in stone was glorious, even though it could not change the motivations of the heart, how much more glorious is the ministry of the Spirit, which revitalizes the understanding and then results in a changed life? Christ's coming was the beginning of a new era. From the angel's announcement to Mary right on through his earthly ministry that culminated in the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension, the glory became increasingly evident. Jesus promised the disciples that the Spirit would come and glorify him, adding additional rays of glory. And that happened. The Spirit came, and the glory grew brighter. Today, every time another person is brought into the family of God, more glory is added. Every time you and I say yes to the Spirit and no to the flesh, the glory increases. And it will continue to increase until the redeemed of all ages gather together around the throne of God in heaven and bask in His glory for all eternity. What an awesome reality. So, the contrast is between the fading glory of the Mosaic Law and the advancing glory that characterizes the New Covenant. The coming of Christ was the beginning of this advancing glory, and it is surely a glory that excels. And then there is a final contrast, the contrast of condemnation and justification. I believe that this is a major contrast that demonstrates the glory that excels. The law is referred to as a ministry of condemnation. Condemnation is judgment. It means to receive an adverse sentence. It means that you're pronounced guilty as charged to suffer the punishment for your misdeeds. Yet the law, the ministry of condemnation, had a certain glory about it because it revealed the holiness of God and His righteous standard. On the other hand, you have the ministry of righteousness or justification. The definition of justification is not just as if I had not sinned. That's acquittal, a not guilty verdict. We can't have that because we are all guilty. Justification is pardon. It is an act of grace. Someone else takes my sentence and pays the penalty for my crime. We are pronounced righteous by the virtue of our acceptance of Jesus' righteousness. His righteousness transforms us, as I said earlier, from the inside out. And it's no wonder Paul says that the law had no glory in comparison to the justification offered in Christ. No one in their right mind would choose condemnation over justification. This is the glory that excels, and it's what we celebrate every year at Christmas. The glory of God revealed in Jesus Christ. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then Hebrews 1:3 speaks of Jesus as the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. And Jesus himself in John chapter 17 repeatedly refers to his glory, and then he asks the Father to bring those who follow him into greater glory. Paul says in the final verse of this chapter that we gaze openly on the glory of the Lord, and we are being transformed into that same image. The glory revealed on Mount Sinai was a fading glory because it didn't touch the hearts of men. It gave them rules and regulations to follow, but it gave them no transforming power. For that reason, it was a ministry of condemnation. Imagine the frustration of being told to keep the law, and then at the same time being told it's impossible. It's no wonder Job cried out for someone to go between him and God to show him how to be accepted with God. The glory that was revealed at Bethlehem was altogether different. Emmanuel came, God with us. The glory that was displayed in the night sky to those watching shepherds is an advancing glory. It grew with the coming of the wise men. It expanded with the revelation of John the Baptist. It was revealed in a short burst on the Mount of Transfiguration. It shook the earth and raised the dead at the crucifixion. The empty tomb and the ascension added more rays. And then the glory took a quantum leap forward with the coming of the Holy Spirit. You know, it is a glory that continues to grow with each new addition to the family of God as people from every tribe and tongue embrace the glory of the cross. It's a glory that begins as a small spark in our lives and grows until ultimately you and I will be perfected in his image. These contrasts demonstrate so clearly the glory that excels. I hope the Lord has been able to use what I've shared with you to stimulate your thinking. I hope you have a renewed appreciation for the glory that excels. And I pray that your joy in Jesus will be greater because of these truths we've meditated on today. So let's review those contrasts one final time. First, the contrast of the letter and the Spirit. Which one are you living by? And then the contrast of receding glory and advancing glory. As you look at your own life, is it bringing more glory to God each day? And then finally, the contrast between condemnation and justification. Is the glory of justification evident in your life? Are you being changed from glory to glory as you spend time in the presence of Jesus and behold his face? Let the Lord search your heart as you reflect on those questions.
Whoa.
Thank you, choir. My prayer is that I will continue to grow in my understanding of the glory that excels. And if you're joining me in that prayer and desire, I'd like to hear from you. Our email address is hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292, or send your comment to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also use this same contact information to request a digital or print copy of today's teaching, The Glory That Excels. To review today's program or to listen to archived programs, just log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen at your convenience. If you'd like to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And again, I remind you that we've created an online survey so you can tell us what you think about this program, The Voice of Hope. The link for the survey is very simple. It's heraldsofhope.org/survey. That's heraldsofhope.org/survey. Now, if you don't have online access, contact us to ask for a paper copy of the survey. We really would like to hear your thoughts on this program. If you will be so kind as to fill that out for us, you will then be able to download a free digital item. We're offering a digital download of the classic story Heidi, read dramatically by the founder of Heralds of Hope, the late Dr. J. Otis Yoder. Or you can choose a digital download of my teaching series from the book of Malachi. It's titled An Offering of Righteousness. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number 866-960-0292. And of course, you can always mail your gift to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study in the book of 2 Corinthians. And until we meet again, remember this.
This road that we're walking has its ups and its downs. Satan tries to trip us, tries to turn us around. We must keep our eyes on Jesus, he's our friend and our guide. He will walk right beside us till we reach the other side.
We are pilgrims and strangers in this world here below, citizens of heaven, it's our ultimate goal. We must reach out and help those who are dying in sin, pointing them to the Savior, bringing souls unto Him.
We gotta keep
walking the straight and narrow path to glory land, gotta keep following the Savior, holding on to His hand. He will lead us, He will guide us, though the way is rough and long. Gotta keep following the Savior to our heavenly home.